work at one of our regional campuses, the University of South Carolina Upstate. And this is my dissertation research, one of the specific aims, the relationship between electronic health record process, ease of care functionalities, and the association with cost per discharge for three coronary procedures. And so here's the committee. Important to note, I did have two physicians on the committee, and their feedback was very important. Dr. Sean Stinson is the VP for Quality and Patient Safety at one of the hospitals in Columbia, South Carolina. And I have no disclosures to report. Okay. So annually, the number of medical errors have been reported to be different things. So initially in 1999, the Institute of Medicine reported around 98,000 medical errors. And then later, 1 year later, Starfield reported 200,000. The discrepancy between the reports of these numbers has to do in one way with the systems that are in place to document medical errors. So not all states have systems in place to report the number of medical errors that are occurring. 7.5 million individuals undergo unnecessary medical and surgical procedures, and 1.5 million individuals have experienced preventable medication errors. And all of this together with medical errors are costing us around $4 billion annually. So how can Health IT help out? How is Health IT supposed to help with patient safety? And the Institute of Medicine outlined in 2012 six key areas or six aims to use Health IT to improve in these areas. And these are some of those that are important for my study. And so the first one is actually a wrap two in one, easy retrieval of the data. And then a second one listed for the aims is transfer of this data. And secondly, evidence at the point of care to aid decision making. So this is usually evidence-based guidelines, alerts in clinical decision support systems, and also enhancements to workflow. So many physicians and clinicians in general are overworked and work varying shifts, and using Health IT is supposed to reduce the cognitive workload. And so as far as where are we at right now with the adoption of electronic health records? Leading up to meaningful use, in 2011, you see there's a large jump in the adoption of electronic health records. And a basic EHR includes the adoption of selected functionalities implemented only in one clinical unit. So this is a very minimal level of adoption of EHRs. In 2013, the number of hospitals that have implemented EHRs has quadrupled as compared to 2010. So right now they're reporting around 6 in 10 hospitals are adopting an advanced level electronic health records. So the significance of studying HIT and in the context of my research is understanding the relationships with patient outcomes and HIT, identifying not only the benefits, but as we're adopting these new functionalities, what are some of the unintended consequences of using this technology that we're unaware of at this moment. And the previous studies have limitations that have to do with the specialized populations, the design of the study, and the statistical power. Most studies do not link specific EHR functionalities with patient outcomes. It's more of use of EHRs and patient outcomes. So the aim of my study is examining the relationship between electronic health record functionalities across three levels of implementation and log transform cost per discharge for abdominal aortic aneurysm repair, coronary artery bypass grafting, and percutaneous coronary intervention, all cardiovascular procedures. And I hypothesize that with a higher level of implementation, hospitals would have a lower estimated cost per discharge because we're saying, hey, if we implement EHRs, we're going to save money. We're going to reduce the amount of resources that we're using. So the studies, there's a few studies out there by Berkmeyer and Dimmick that were kind of the inspiration for my research, and they focused on these three same procedures as well, and they looked at process and outcome measures, but they mostly focused on volume standards. So physicians that performed a higher number of these surgeries had better outcomes, and the outcomes that are traditionally looked at for these procedures are mortality rates. AHRQ has identified these three procedures as their inpatient quality indicators, where now, fast forward, hospitals are going to begin to be reimbursed based on their outcomes for these procedures specifically. And so Berkmeyer and Dimmick, they suggested that if you take note of processes of care functions with EHRs, you could save an additional 7,500 lives per year total for the three procedures. So some of the processes of care functionalities that the American College of Cardiology Foundation has identified have to do with the administration of certain drugs prior to the procedure. And oftentimes, the clinical decision support systems provide alerts to remind physicians to administer these drugs. So the data sources, I use the NIS HCUP data, which is hospital discharge data that has around 7.8 million discharges and 1,050 hospitals, and link that to the cost-to-charge ratio file and to the AHA EHR adoption survey. When I put those together and hospitals that were in all of the different years of the data that I used, I ended up with a sample of 440 hospitals. And it was a pooled cross-sectional design, and I only included hospitals that had greater than 30 procedures performed. Some of that has to do with the volume standards that I discussed a moment ago. So the three key functionalities that I looked at for the independent variables are clinical documentation, computerized provider order entry, and clinical decision support system. And within those, I've selected nine sub-functionalities, and these are those that the physicians on the committee identified as possibly having a relationship and those that are in line with meaningful use. The AHA measures the level of adoption across six different levels. I used a conservative criterion for adoption, whereas level three is the highest level of implementation, and they had to have the functionality implemented in all clinical units, whereas the second level is they're beginning to implement or they have it implemented in only one clinical unit. And because I'm looking at surgery, if it's only in one clinical unit, you don't know if it's surgery or not. And from there, I created a score for the three key independent variables. So, for example, those that have adopted all of the CDSS functionalities are going to have the highest score within that that variable. And the dependent variable was log transform cost per discharge, and the reason that we log transform that data is the distribution was positively skewed, and so for the multivariate analysis, we utilized the log transform version of the dependent variable. I adjusted for patient mix and hospital covariates. Let's repeat there. Okay, so this here I've only presented the significant results. And for the three procedures combined, urban hospitals and for AAA alone, had a higher cost per discharge as compared to rural hospitals for these procedures. And across bed size, the smaller the hospital, the lower the cost per discharge. And across teaching status, teaching hospitals had a significantly higher cost per discharge as compared to non-teaching. And so looking at the individual sub-functions across level of adoption, I noted that for PCI, drug-drug interactions, those that had the highest level of implementation did in fact have the lowest cost per discharge. But what is really interesting about these results, and it's pretty similar, or it's similar for CABBAGE as well, is those at a level 2 of adoption actually have the highest cost per discharge. And so for the regression, these are significant results as well, but what's important to note is what's not here, and that's that CPOE, CDS, and clinical documentation had no relationship noted between the level of implementation and cost. So we're not, there's no differences across that. So is it going to be over time we'll start to realize those savings? Hopefully. But I did find that cost per discharge for the three procedures combined was lower for small hospitals as compared to medium, and rural hospitals lower than urban, and fourth quartile for patient severity was higher than the first quartile. For AAA, non-teaching hospitals had a lower cost per discharge for AAA than teaching hospitals, and for PCI, hospitals in the South had a lower cost per discharge as compared to the Northeast. And again, the quartiles of patient chronic conditions or severity, those that had greater than 3 that were in the second quartile had a lower cost per discharge as compared to the first. So the major limitations with this is it's based off the assumption that all hospitals are using the functionalities that they have in the exact same way. So just because I have drug-drug alerts and you have drug-drug alerts does not mean we're using them in the same way. And that's something that makes it extremely challenging to link specific functionalities of EHR with outcomes. So the design of the study and being able to extrapolate this to other populations, and also of great importance is the number of the years they've had the technology in place. So those that have had the technology in place for a longer amount of time have potentially overcome some of the learning curve effects. And so these are preliminary results. What will be really interesting is over time to investigate, hopefully, how this changes. I am going to be purchasing soon additional years of this data, and so it will be nice to be able to compare these. And I think now there is a variable that shows you when they implemented the EHRs. And so creating policies to financially motivate them to improve outcomes and reduce costs is important, and as I mentioned, the IQIs, that reimbursements are going to be based off some of those IQIs, hopefully will help in this area. So how are we going to change meaningful use to hopefully be more consistent in how we use things? And if we have the tool, that doesn't necessarily mean they're using the tool. And then in conclusion, health economist Uwe Reinhardt noted that hospitals don't necessarily have motivation other than ethical to reduce these post-surgical complications because of the associated financial losses that they might experience. And that's all. Sorry, I forgot to restart the timer, so I didn't know how much time I had. Sorry. Yes, sir.
Really in my realm of research, but just
guess in my opinion, hopefully as we use electronic health records over time, we can try to streamline the use of these tools so that we're not spending as much time hopefully documenting. There's other ways to document things electronically than having to type, type, type. I know someone that's doing research on physicians copying and pasting notes from one patient to the other in order to save time, and sometimes how that can lead to errors as well. But if we could come up with another solution that, you know, maybe there's a drop-down box of certain notes that you, you know, X doctor types in these four things with the highest frequency, so instead of having to type it, they could choose that from a list. That's the best that I could come up with.
How did you think it was going to decrease cost of discharge? I mean, is there a sense of how the electronic medical record is supposed to make things happen faster?
So hopefully, and it's not necessarily in this context, but having the EHR, hopefully we can identify errors earlier than we would have in the past. So if they alert us of something we're about to do wrong, so drug dosing, instead of I give you the wrong dose for your weight and then something happens and then you come back in to see me.
Or you just don't get out of the hospital.
Right, you're there longer, you know. Okay. So that's how I feel like some of the cost associate, you know, to reduce some of the cost. So if it leads to a surgical complication or the patient dying, that's going to cost more. And so cost for discharge doesn't really mean they left the hospital.
They could have, yes.
They could have left in an undesirable way.